Blog Talk Radio.
Here she is.
This is an unlawful gathering.
The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is Numania.
Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. And good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Thursday, February 2nd, Groundhog Day. Glenn Sather came out this morning, saw his shadow, which means 6 more weeks of shitty power play. Good evening, Eddie, and how are you?
Do they actually get snapshots of him being out and about? Because we never see much of him.
He crawled out of his stump.
I'm doing pretty good. Going up to Atlantic City. That's what kind of started on the whole pre-show Bruce Springsteen riff. you make me laugh doing Bruce. And I'm glad Ranger hockey's back-to-back action. They hit us real quick. 2 games, we were right back into it. And the heartbreak of psoriasis with this team on the power play and a lot of other things that have me very perturbed. But other than that, doing great. I'm glad hockey's back. How about you?
Same here. Glad hockey's back. We even got a little extra hot, a little bonus hockey both nights, as they say. Both games going to shootouts. 4-3 loss to the goddamn Devils. And then the big 1-0 win over the Sabres last night. And I'm not trying to overhype it or get too reactionary to it. But I think I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that save that Henrik Lundqvist made on the second shooter in the shootout, is that the most spectacular save he's ever made with a hell of a lot of competition? I mean, that was just absolutely
it's up there. I mean, it's surely up there. Yeah, no, it was fantastic.
I mean,
yeah, it's up there. It's definitely one of the top ones.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a human highlight reel, but when they close the book on Henrik Lundqvist someday, and they put together his top 5 greatest saves of all time. That's going to be one of the top 3, I think, unless he's got something else up his sleeve.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of his best. And you're right. When they put the highlight reel together, that's going to be up there for sure. And already people talking about the shootout in the chat room, and I agree. Gary Bettman keeps saying that people love the shootout. I don't like any. I don't know anybody who doesn't like it. That likes it, but majority of people don't like it.
Right.
I think stupid way to end the game.
His statement was that 70% of 80% of the fans he talks to like the shootout and like ending the game with breaking a tie with a shootout. So I'm thinking, he asked 5 10-year-olds, do you like the shootout? 4 of them said yes, and they got his 80%. I'll take a spot poll right now. There's 20, besides you and I, there's 27 people in this chat room. Yes or no, do you think the shootout's a good way to solve a tie? Tell me in the chat room right now. I guarantee you we don't get 60%, 50%, 40% we might not get. Tell me in the chat room. There's one no. It's a landslide already. Oh,
cursing too. That's a bonus.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are not in love with a game ending in a tie, you know. So I'm not a fan of the whole spiel, the whole now let's go to overtime. It's 4-on-4. It's going to be wide open. I don't really find that the case in overtime. That to make it more exciting, they go 4-on-4. I don't find that. That's really the case. The shootout to me, I'd rather just have sudden death or not sudden death, you know, playing overtime, an extra period. If it's a tie, it's a tie. Listen, I just don't want to see a skills competition, you know, but anyway. I'm not happy, Jim. I'm just not happy Ranger wise. And I don't know how. I'm not happy with the team. I don't know how everybody else is feeling. I feel like we've regressed back into last year's mode where no one can score. Obviously, we're going to shootouts. We don't have Zuccarello and Christensen and Volsky, and a few people that didn't hear, Volsky and Wojtyla was sent down to the Whale. Possible trade looming, whatever. I just feel like the Rangers are offensively challenged again. And I'm more worried now because last year we didn't have Brad Richards. This year we have Brad Richards. And I don't know. I feel like, look at the first game. Who are our goal scorers? Were Anton Stroman and who got the other goal? Boyle.
And MDZ.
And last night we didn't get any goals. Was it MDZ? Yeah.
Stroman, MDZ, and Boyle.
Right. And then last night we didn't get anything. And I feel like they're back to being boring. I mean, I understand they won. They got 3 points out of 4, but this is not the team I want to see. I want to see them, you know. And the power play, it's killing me. I'm so frustrated. Those goals, if they would have capitalized in the Devil game on at least, you know, a power play or so, they would have won the game. They're becoming difference makers now. They should have won that game anyway because that Clarkson goal was absolutely preposterous. The one that hits off the glass comes right out in front.
Yeah.
And just so unlucky with 28 seconds to go. And so anyway, I'm very worried. I don't know how you feel.
I'm not worried yet. You know what's funny? The power play has gotten so bad that Ranger fans are now beginning to question how valuable the power play is, which I think is kind of ironic. You know, we've seen it in the Facebook group. I've seen it on Blue Shirt Banner. Ranger fans are actually saying you know, our penalty killing is really good, so how important is our power play anyway? And anybody who says that, I'll point you right back to the Capitals series last year. And whatever they were in that series, I think they were 1 for 17. I might be wrong about that. But think of what the difference would have been with another 2 or 3 power play goals in that series. It would have been in the second round. The power play is extremely important, and special teams become even more important when you get to the playoffs. So just because they suck at it, don't try and re-justify that it's not that important. The power play is extremely important and will continue to be so.
Yeah. It certainly is. It can be the difference between winning and losing, especially in a playoff game. And, you know, I'm just really frustrated. I feel like the Rangers for the last, I don't know, it's 10 games or so. And listen, they've avoided losing streaks, and they're coming away with points, but I feel like they're a little bit of a paper tiger right now, the way they're playing. I don't know if this is just what you go through. I mean, they're the number one team in the league, and I'm watching the game, and I'm going, if I was watching this team, I would say, this is the number one team in the NHL? I mean, you know, they're letting the Nathan Gerby freaking Paul Gostat line dominate them. Yeah, but, you know, the factor is, and everybody knows, the Rangers will work hard and they don't give up. They've got a great core of, you know, they're very disciplined. But there's got to be some more creativity out on the ice. It's just so boring. I got knots in my stomach watching these games.
Well,
0-0 after one, 0-0 after two.
Let me
one goal.
Now you know, and I'm the first to admit. Okay, when it comes to breaking down a hockey game, that's not my specialty. Okay, when it comes to X's and O's, I leave that to Paulie D. But last night, they have this 4-on-3. They have the 4-on-3 power play in the beginning of overtime, right? They've got. I don't remember the particulars who were on the ice, okay? But they've got two players just inside the blue line, one on the left, one on the right, and the other two players are one's on the right side of the net and one's on the left side of the net. Nobody's in front of the net. Explain to me if the guys from the point, if the guys on the point have the puck, how are those two guys on either side of the net? How are they going to score? What are they? That's, I mean, come on. I never played professional hockey. I never played college hockey. I never played high school hockey. But even I know you can't score from there. I don't know if you noticed that, but it was something that I picked up on watching that 4-on-3 in overtime. I mean, it was just, they're putting themselves in horrible positions. Horrible. I mean, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, they put Brian Boyle out on the power play. and he's standing to the side of the net. How's he going to explain? I mean, I'd love to sit in the room and hear Tortorella ask, how are you going to score a goal from there? Makes no sense. And maybe I'm reading the play wrong. And by all means, if I am, somebody explain it to me, because, you know, I learn me some brains, as my co-host likes to say. But I mean, tell me I'm wrong. You know, I'm here to learn as much as, you know, whatever it is I do. Did you notice when they ran that 4-on-3?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, I don't know what they were doing, whether they, you know, and they have a lot of players who are in a funk. I mean, Brad Richards, I don't know what's going on with him. He made a couple nice passes last night, but other than that, I'm not seeing anything.
Bad on face.
Anisimov is terrible right now. He played a little bit better last night. I'm almost at the point where I'm about to just say, you know, listen, you just can't go 16 games, 17 games without a point. Inexcusable.
Yet. So, are you telling me you're almost ready to pull the plug on the Artem Anisimov experiment?
I'm not the experiment. Listen, I'm not going to go crazy like some of these other Ranger fans are like, he's terrible. I'm just telling you, the guy sucks right now. I mean, he's horrible. I mean, and I'm not even going to say I love Artem Anisimov. Like, I have to say, I have to just preface that. I think by everybody knows that I'm a fan of the guys. But it's unacceptable. Unacceptable. And Dubinsky? Trade his ass. I couldn't get rid of this guy quicker. I just can't take him. What does he do? What does he do? Now I...
Wait a minute. We have to mark. Okay, this is historical now. At the 15-minute mark of the Thursday, February 2nd show, Eddie has uttered the phrase, "What does he do?" Once he says that about a player, there's no turning back. About Redden. He said it about Drury. He said it about Avery. That is the point of no return with Eddie. Once he wants to know what you do, there's no recovering.
I feel like this, that Devinsky has, as they have added parts to the team, guys who have been more successful and more important in the room for them, he has diminished. At both, I can't tell you off the ice, but even in that 24/7, we didn't hear much from him. I really think that he's invisible out there. I don't know what he does. He's not good on the power play. He's a decent penalty killer. He's not hitting people out there. The Rangers haven't really been hitting as much as they were earlier in the year. I don't care what Pierre Maguire was trying to tell you in that last night's game. That wasn't a hard-hitting game. I didn't see it that way. And for the money he's being paid, and if you really want to get me pissed, when you get the payday and you don't show up that year, then you know you're going to be on the shit list real quick. You get the payday, you got to step it up. As they say, you know, you're a professional. You're a pro now.
Well, look, I mean, you've said it. I'm just in your words. Exactly. Thank you, Frankie. Nice to see you. Girardi, Stahl, Callahan all went and got the big, you know, young guys that got the big payday, and went out and earned it. Play up their game, even. I mean, look, you know, Stahl last year, Girardi last year, and Callahan this year. You know, Dubinsky hasn't done that.
Even Boyle. I know Boyle hasn't gotten the goals, and we've been on him. But at least I see the guy is out there busting his ass, jumping in front of shots.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? He's becoming the most reliable face-off guy. He was the only decent guy on defensive zone faceoffs last night. Brad Richards has been terrible on faceoffs, and that was one of the pluses of getting him.
Yep.
I don't want to start getting on Brad Richards yet. I can't do that. The guy's been here 4 months.
I think he's in a funk.
Yeah, what's her name? Olivia Munn. She broke up with him.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been the same since.
Oh, that's the conjecture out there.
That's what I've been hearing. You know, I got my ear to the ground on Twitter. You know, that's where all the best info is.
Well, I was talking to one of our faithful listeners, Coast of the Crazy Greek, and he's worried that we're seeing Brad Richards' skills diminishing, a la Chris Drury. I mean, I think it's a little bit early for that. What do you think?
Does he have 16 goals? 14 goals? How many goals?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now.
What's he have, like 6-7 game winners?
16 goals, 17 assists. Until he hit this little scoring drought that he's on, he was on pace for, you know, career year in goals. I don't think he's diminished at all. He's 31. And I know this is right about. I think this was right about the same age as Drury, but no, his skills are diminishing. I don't think he's, you know, the first 2 months of the season, and now all of a sudden he's diminished. I just think he's. I think like Eddie said, he's in a slump. He's not getting laid.
Yeah.
You know, girl left.
What were the odds? Costa was right anyway. Come on, let's face it. The guy knows nothing.
Come on
now. You know what it is. Costa does know stuff, but you know what? He's jumping the gun. He's thinking high price free agent. Here we go again. He's been burned. And when you're burned, you know, you get a little, you know, you get a little crazy. It's in his nickname. So, yeah, I mean, I just see the Rangers are just not impressive. They're not impressing me anymore. And I know, you know, people can say, oh, but they're winning, you know, they're number one. Like, yeah, I understand. They're a good team. But offensively, there's a lot to be desired. I mean, it could be a lot better. I mean, the power play, I mean, I usually don't jump on the power play with everybody else, but really now it's a joke. And I don't know where Pierre Maguire got the notion that John Tortorella was a power play coach. He mentioned that in the broadcast. I don't know if you got the versus
couple
feed
of,
or
couple
the
of times.
Sport.
Said it a
yeah.
couple of times.
I haven't seen it since he's been a Ranger coach. Maybe we have McCavalier and St. Louis and all those other guys.
Maybe he's talking about that video that we've played before when he, well, not on the show, but the video of when he was with Buffalo and he's talking all about how to create a successful power play. You've seen that video, haven't you?
Yes.
I mean, it's about 15 years old. His accent's really bad. He's in like a Huxtable sweater. It's pretty funny. But maybe that's why I'm reading Margaret. She's taking us to task. Wait a minute, Ed and Jim. You're forgetting that no one expected this team. Margaret, it's time to get past no one where people expected them to be. Expectations have changed. Their expectations have changed. You think the Rangers are telling each other every day, "Well, we're not supposed to be here. We're supposed to be competing
in
great place."
We're the number one team in the league. Let's not get better because we're really in the middle of a rebuild.
Yeah,
we really don't want to go after the Stanley Cup this year.
I'm sorry, Margaret.
Let's
I
wait.
Love you, but that no one expected this team to be in this position. That went out the window in November, the beginning of December. That went out the window. They're beyond that because right now, if this team, if God forbid, this team went on a 12 game losing streak and fell out of the race and missed the playoffs, people would be going apeshit, with a capital apeshit.
Yeah.
Absolute apeshit. And nobody would be saying, oh, well, I didn't expect them to be there. Or
yeah,
no.
It was a rebuilding year.
Apeshit. It would be same old Rangers, choked again, this, that. I'm not buying nobody expected this team. I'm not buying it anymore. That was
and
fine
you know what?
In November. That was fine in early December, but not anymore. No. They have raised expectations. They've raised their own expectations. You know,
if they don't win a round, it's over.
Yeah.
They don't win the first round. We've already discussed this, the majority here. If they don't win a first-round playoff, rebuilding, reschmilding, they need to start winning and elevating their, you know, that you know, people are expecting them to, you know, advance. Ranger fans especially, because we're more delusional than the rest.
Of course.
In some ways, and sometimes we're more critical.
Of course.
So, yeah.
You're
expectations
killing.
Have risen. And, and I just, just give me something. I don't have to sit there. And, you know, last night was a perfect example. If you had Marty Beer on in that last night, it's a loss. Henrik Lundqvist is playing out of his mind. Well, let's get some goals here.
Well, let's get back to since you bring up Marty Biron. Did you have before the game? Did you have a problem with him getting the start against the Devils the other night?
Oh, that was ridiculous. I was fuming.
Why? Before the game. I'm not talking about
before
after the game.
Before the game, I was fuming.
Okay.
How many straight games did he play against the Devils?
A lot.
He had some like
I don't
like
remember. I don't remember
three,
the numbers. A lot.
Something like that. Something crazy like that. I'm sure somebody will fill me in. And then he doesn't play. Him against Marty. it's a divisional game. I don't care how many points the Rangers are up on them.
You didn't.
You gotta go in there with your number one.
You didn't.
And,
you weren't going along with the getting him an extra day of rest. You weren't on board with that?
That's bullshit. He played an all-star game.
Well, he was under duress, that's for sure.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, get out of here.
All right. I'm asking.
I'm still angry about it because, listen, I know Marty Bierman is not Henrik Lundqvist, but that goal in the shootout that Bierman gave up to Ilya Kovalchuk was one of the first goaltending exhibitions I've ever seen since John Davidson hit the net.
Kovalchuk could have batted a beach ball with a wiffle bat through his legs. That's how wide open his legs were.
Me and Costa could have slid through his legs. That's how the gap was so big. I couldn't believe that an NHL goalie would do that.
I just have this vision of the two of you sliding down the ice like Frosty the Snowman with the girl on his back. Oh my God! Okay, so you were again it. All right, I got to be honest with you. I didn't have a problem with it.
Henrik was pissed.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Well, look, he wants to play every night. Anytime Biron starts, he's perturbed about it. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. I really didn't. Because I thought they'd win the game anyway.
Yeah.
And look, if they win the game, you know, nobody's complaining about Biron being in the net anymore. But, you know, of course, every time Biron gives up a goal, it's, you know, why the fuck did they play Biron tonight? Fire towards
right.
God damn it.
But it's almost like, I felt it was more like Torts mind games, like, listen, Henrik, we're going to rest you, whether you like it or not. First game back, it's Marty. That's what I felt like it was more. But listen, you can't win them all. They would have won the game if it wasn't for that ridiculous carom off the boards. I just, you know what it is? It's such an emotional game when we play the Devils that there's more at stake. So I always figure we got to go with Henrik. And let me tell you, man, Marty Brodeur, you know, I know the fans call him Fatso and Fat Marty and all that time. But really, he wails out. I mean, did you see some of those goals? He was, like, on his back doing a 360. It looked like he was breakdancing. He was flopping all over the place. He can't get up. Oh, hang it up, Marty. You're terrible. Oh, it's awful. I'm not even going for the comedy. He just looks terrible on those goals. Whew. And one of the things I also wanted to mention, last night they finally did something that me and you have been promoting, and that was put Anton Strålman on the power play.
Yes.
But
don't squeeze the Strålman.
Yeah, and it didn't click, and then he scrapped it real quick. Next power play, Girardi was out there.
Yeah.
Which I think he should try to keep Strålman on there because Strålman gets the puck to the net. And he shoots. So that's my little dissertation on the Devil game. And
how about last night's game, the way they were selling it as what a fantastic goaltending duel it was. Did you think the Rangers made life difficult for Ryan Miller last night?
Oh.
I didn't.
No. Henrik was making, like, saves, like, you know, on a scale, like, of, like, 7 to 9 in difficulty, and Ryan Miller was making 3 to 5.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know? I mean, I have to say, though, there's some Rangers that, you know, I spent a lot of time, and we spent a lot of time the first half hour of this broadcast saying what we had, and, like, Ryan McDonagh is a freaking stud, man. I think I finally decided that's the guy I'm going to go with my jersey. This guy is he's relentless out there. I mean, he's just so good. I keep waiting for him to kind of tire and kind of like maybe hit a wall, you know, because he's never played this many minutes before, but he just seems to be getting better. So you know, and Girardi, again, continues to block shots. Defense is, you know, it's all okay with the defense and the goaltending, but come on. I think if we get Brad Richards, Jim, this power play would be solved somewhat. We've gone backwards. I think the Ranger power play last year was better at this point. It had to be. It can't be any worse. And then whatever team we played, their power play struggling. Oh, Buffalo. Damn it. Is anybody's power play doing good? Ready to play.
Yeah. Well, the Sabres penalty kill has really struggled. They've given up 19 goals in the last 22 opportunities, but they held the Rangers to 0-9 tonight.
Yeah. Something's got to go on. So that's my, and then last night's game, you know, the Sabres, you're starting to see this too. And I thought that Doc Emrick hammered it home too much about, he, you know, Buffalo has to make the playoffs. It's an important game. I mean, listen, we got like 38 games left. Calm down there, Doc.
Right.
I mean, this is not the last 15, 20 games here. But you're starting to see these teams need these 2 points, and they're coming out, and they're, and the Rangers are not under the radar anymore. You're getting in their best game now. The other team's best game.
Right.
They're saying, oh, they're number one in the league. They're number one in the Eastern Conference. This is a test. But,
well, you know, the situation's almost, you know, we're almost to that point in the season now where the situation's reversed from what it's been the last few years. Instead of the Rangers having to play every night like it's a playoff game, they're up against teams that are playing every night like it's a playoff game.
And a shot! And a shot!
Yes. Well, Hagelin. Again, with the Hagelin last night.
Again, with the Hagelin. There was one thing where he called Tyler Ennis silky smooth. Silky smooth Tyler Ennis.
Pierre had some good ones last night. He said, they were talking about the Devils game, and Pierre says, you know, Doc, New Jersey's starting to come. And I said, oh, sounds like a night at Snooki's house.
And I was watching.
And then he says, and then the score's nothing, you know, heading towards the end of the third period, and they go into the commercial, and Doc says, ought. Late in the third, and I'm thinking, you know, he says shit like that, you just want to punch him right in the snot box. Ought. Just say it's nothing. Just say no score. Don't give me the Shakespearean dissertation. I don't need a soliloquy. Just give me the goddamn score. Nothing. Zip, zilch. Donuts. Bagels. Goose eggs. Ought. Shut the fuck.
And a shot.
Exactly. And they cancel. And then what else did he say? The robust New York Rangers? What are we, fat?
What are they, Golden Mustangs?
He's trying to say Rangers are fat? The robust New York Rangers. And then what's the other one? Another term he likes to use a lot. They're warming to the task. The Rangers are, Ryan Miller's warming to the task. Who talks like that? So an ought.
Ought.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's funny. For years, people would rave about him. Oh, I love the way he calls a game. And I'm 15 years, I've been saying, I can't fucking stand him. And I was always in the minority. What are you, crazy? He's the best. He's Doc. Now it seems like everybody hated him. Now everybody hates him. I've set the trend once again. Ought. Go fuck yourself.
I actually like
your friends. They'd stop hanging out with you. If you were watching a game with High C and you said, well, it's ought, heading to, he'd be out the door.
Ought. The silky smooth.
The robust New York Rangers. Now with 30% more spice.
What is this, the chew? I mean, what is he doing over here? But I wanted to say something about Emmerich and IFK. Oh, I would have to say something about Chico. I was watching a game with Joe Negative, and he goes, you know, Chico sounds like Kermit the Frog or Yoda. He's, if you really listen, he's like, well, Barney. I laughed because, you know.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? What's on the other side?
He sounds like freaking Kermit the Frog. So it's been some chicanery. Oh, Day of the Dead is concurring that Chico, that he has been doing, that Kermit has been, he has thought Kermit, I mean Chico, has sounded like Kermit for years.
Oh, great analogy. Great. He definitely sounds like him.
Yeah. Wow. Bum, unbelievable. Bump, 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 bump.
Now I get the Muppet Show song stuck in my head. All right.
So let's go to the phones. I want to hear what people got to say.
All right. Robbie, what's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Good. Thank you.
I'm doing good. Ready? Doing good.
Yeah. You ready for this weekend?
Well, that's just the one time I actually want to talk about hockey. You guys got to bring up football.
I didn't bring it up.
I know, Eddie Rudd. But yes, I'll pull for the Giants over the Patriots. So, Jim, good luck Sunday, and I hope you guys win. Okay?
How could you not, though?
Yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, there are some Jets fans that I know are pulling for the Patriots, which is kind of, it's kind of ridiculous.
Look at it from the other side. The Yankees, if the Mets were playing the Red Sox in the World Series again, would a Yankee fan cheer for the Red Sox? Yankee fan probably shoot himself in the head.
Some
of them wouldn't watch. Yeah, they wouldn't watch. But I'm just saying. I mean, come on.
I know. I'd rather see Manning and Co. get their fourth than see Brady and that and a fucking psycho coach get his fourth. So let's go G-Man on this one. But
right.
Still a Jets fan.
Yeah. Well, all right. So what do you got about hockey?
What do you got about hockey? I think that was a good win last night. I'm still a little bit frustrated about the Devils' loss. I can't believe I'm still a little bit with that bounce off of the glass, and it just happened to come right to Clarkson, and then obviously right through Biron, which was pretty ridiculous because Prudential Center is a new arena and has all those bounces like it's whatever. But you know, that really bothered me. And then they lost in the shootout, and then I had to go to school the next day and deal with the assholes here in Jersey. So it was pretty bad. But then I'm glad we bounced back last night. So
yeah. Marty, I mean, I know. I guess beating the Rangers is a big thing, but it seemed like they had won the Stanley Cup after that, the way they celebrated the Devils.
Yeah, you know,
that's another thing. The Devils score a goal, and they play Rock and Roll Part 2.
That's current.
But not even that. Doesn't it bother them just a little bit to play a song by a repeat sex offender and pedophile? What, didn't Manson have any songs they could play? What, no John Wayne Gacy tunes?
Well, Jim,
a lot of hockey teams play that as their bow horn, so it's not just the Devils.
Name me another one. The Penguins.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I expect it from them.
That's true.
I don't even think they do it.
I don't think they do either.
No, but notice, like you said, that they celebrate after school. Notice how, like, all not just the Devils, but all the other teams get fired up to play the Rangers because they want to beat New York, so they think it's like their time to shine. So.
Of course. Get used to it, Robbie. It's in every sport.
It's true.
You should have noticed, people that don't root for New York teams don't really like New York teams. I don't know how to break that to you, but.
It's true. It's true.
And we should never make fun of the talents of John Wayne Gacy. I mean, he made a terrific balloon animals and entertained children. So, you know, we should never compare Gary Glitter to a man of entertainment and art such as John Wayne Gacy.
Clown.
Now, I wanted to say something about that Devil game, too. You got to give mad props, yo, just to the fact that they really have a murderer's row of shootout guys. Did you see the percentages when those guys came up? And we're throwing like 1 for 12s, 3 for 30s out there, and Kovalchuk is like 8 for 10.
How funny was it? He sends Richards out there 0 for 5 against the Devils, and I'm following along on Twitter, and I swear to God, there must have been 20 Ranger fans that said, I don't care what they do as long as they don't put fucking Richards back out there in a shootout. And there he was, number 3, right back out. 0 for 6 now on the shootouts, by the way.
I don't know.
Now, another thing with the Prudential Center, I can't go. I shouldn't have even gone into the shootout. That bothered me so much. Jeez, they showed their spots after the power play goal by Kovalchuk, and then they just bounced right the fuck out of the fucking game. It's a new arena, my ass. It bounced just right. I don't know. That's just our luck. But that shouldn't have even gone into the shootout anyway. So.
It's over. Put it behind you. Move on.
We have another game against them on Tuesday night at the Garden.
Brand new day.
Yeah.
What else?
And let me tell you, our power play is horrifically horrendous, if that even makes sense. The penalty kill is phenomenal, but I'm telling you, they look better on, sometimes they look better. I'd rather have them take a penalty than draw a penalty. That sounds just like stupid to say, but they look really good on they're more aggressive on the penalty kill than on the power play. So I don't know, and they said, they're going to look to make a trade, but someone's going to come and just magically make that work? I think that they're just, going to have to fix it with what they got. I mean, no one's just going to come and magically just, it's going to be all better because one new person comes in, so I don't know what they're going to do with the power play. It's horrific right now.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you're right. The Rangers seem to get more chances sometimes shorthanded than they do on the power play. You always see Crust is getting, I think Crust had an opportunity last night. They do seem to be, and you're right. I think they are more aggressive. I don't know. I've racked my brain trying to figure out that power play. Is it people standing around? Is it people, I don't know. No one taking charge out there. I don't know.
We need a Lash Coda leak back. We need him. We were supposed to help us out for 2 years ago. I'm just kidding.
He's
I know that.
Great locker that. Room guy too.
I knew that was coming.
Bye, Robbie. I had to give the chat room what they wanted, Robbie.
Well, after he said that, he knew that was he threw himself on a grenade. or what you call it? When they have the cops to shoot you, what do they call cop suicide or whatever that is? When you they tell you to put your hands down, you don't do it, so you get shot anyway. That's what
death by cop. That was pretty much like Captain Jenks saying, this all started from Howard Stern's penis or something. All right, who we got next? I believe this is Rock. Rock, what's going on?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Guys, I have to say, you guys are on fire tonight. I mean, you hit on everything that I've been wanting to bring up tonight. So, not that you are normally, but tonight you hit on everything that I've noticed
last. I was wondering if I was the only guy out there because I haven't talked to Jim in the last two games either. And so, what are you agreeing with? What do you see?
Well, first off, the point you brought up about I was laughing the paper champion type of deal, the way you were describing the Rangers, being the number one team in the East. To me, I think it's part of the reason why I think the East is just so bad, but. Listen, they're beating teams they should be beating. I mean, if you look at their last 5 games, what worries me, and you guys hit on this right on the head, they're going in last night against a Buffalo team that has the worst goals differential in the league, tied for the worst. With no Vanek, no Drew Stafford, they couldn't score a goal. Then the night before, they're playing the Devils. Obviously, the Devils aren't the elite team. Brodeur's not what he was. They have no Adam Henrique, no Travis Zajac. They lose to them in a shootout. Then going in, like I said, we've talked about the Winnipeg game. You know, we talked about the Nashville game where they had no Ryan Suter and no Pekka Rinne playing. We had the Boston game where Tim Thomas didn't play. You know, I mean, they're winning the games, which is what they need to do. They haven't scored four goals in a game since the December 30th game against the Florida Panthers. They're winning, but like I said, and I think I stressed this the last time I called, they're winning, but they're not convincing me. They're not showing me. They're beating teams they should be beating. You know, they're winning games I think they should be winning. They're not, you know, blowing us away with beating teams that are well out of their realm. I mean, so they seem to have Philly's number this year. You know, let's see what happens Sunday. They have a rough schedule coming up. I mean, they have Philly, the Devils again, the Lightning that always give them problems, the Flyers, the Capitals, the Bruins, and the Blackhawks. And then they get a break against Columbus, but you know how those games are. That's a trap game. So, I mean, they have a rough schedule coming up, and you know how it is. I mean, you guys said it. They're gunning for this team now. And these next few games this month, and I've been on record as saying it, this next month coming up is monumental to what this team is going to do going into the playoffs. There's no question now. He has to figure out a way to set this team up and get them some form of scoring help. And, Jim, you hit it on the head. I watched that 4-on-3 last night, and I was praying that Adam Graves would come out of the friggin' booth, or if he was there in Buffalo, to stand in front of the friggin' net. No, this team has not had a decent power play since he was on the team. They don't set up anybody in front of the net. All three guys are in the perimeter, and all they did was start blocking shots. They need the defenseman to go in front of the net so they can push the guy out of the crease to open up for somebody else. You have four guys standing around just, you know, playing shuffleboard with each other.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, their power play is horrendous.
Yeah, because the Rangers were set up all on the perimeter, like you said, and everything they were trying, everything, Buffalo was just blocking everything.
Right. You know, I mean, what are we missing? What are they, I don't understand. I mean, trying to dissect their power play, you know, you drive yourself crazy. But to me, more than ever, and Mando said at the end of last show, and he convinced me, Shea Weber. You know, I know the team needs help up front. Maybe you can get away with a fringe guy to help up front, but they need somebody back that they can blast the puck. And guys that are going to get out of the way. Most players, when Shea Weber winds up, they're moving. You know, they're not. I mean, you got the few rare exceptions of guys with some cojones, but for the most part, that guy, you know. And if they do cover him, that means someone else is open down the road. You know, I mean, so he kind of sold me on that. He made a great point, I thought, last show with the defense kind of being interchangeable. There's not one guy that you can honestly say that if you're lost, you may be hurt with. I mean, McDonough and Girardi, you know, is what it is, but. You know, he sold me on Shea Weber. He really did. He pleaded the case perfectly last show, and I want to give him props for that.
He is now killing you in the chat room.
I'm sure. I'm not even looking at it.
He's saying that February. Oh boy, you're Captain Obvious because February is a big month, and that this and that.
Yeah, it's okay. I've learned to deal with his sarcasm, so it's all good. I respect him as a fan. So I always say, as a fireman, the one thing you realize is when people are making fun of you is usually when they like you. It's when they're not talking to you is when they don't. So
I don't know Mando's case, too.
Listen, we're all Ranger fans, so it's all good. I appreciate it. I like being ribbed. It's fun.
Oh, you're right. I mean, this is a big test for them, the Hawks, the Bruins. I mean, it will, you know, be a little bit of barometer where they are now.
Right. And the Ryan Smith thing, I mean, I got to hear him cry when he leaves Edmonton again? I mean, and come here and play half-assed like he did for the Islanders? You know, there's certain people that just, to me, just will never fit in New York, and he's one of them. I'll tell you, he's, you know, from, if it wasn't, he have his background, he's actually a pretty good guy because he does stand in front of the net. But I just don't think, from a New York perspective, that guy is the answer. Brad Boyes is not the answer. You know, I don't know. Sather, he's usually tries to get these reclamation projects and guys on the cheap. You know, I'm going to be very curious to see that if he's going to be able to, you know, suck it up a little bit, possibly give away something of value because he hates doing that, and bring us in a guy that will help us get us over the top. And you guys said it too. It's like all their goal scoring shut down all at once. You know, Gabrick was hot, and when Gabrick wasn't hot, Richards was hot in the beginning of the year. Now it's like nobody's scoring. I mean, they're getting no contributions really out of their top two lines. You're getting goals from Boyle and from the defense, and Callahan's chipped in a couple, but you're getting nothing out of Dubinsky, you're getting nothing out of Anisimov, and even Derek Stefan. He had that great beginning to the season, and even he's kind of tailed off the last few weeks. So you're getting nothing from anybody right now, and I guess you can look at it, you know, they're staying afloat. They're doing their thing, they're staying afloat, and they're winning games that they should be winning, but, like you guys said.
Okay, you go, Jay.
Go ahead, Eddie. No, you go ahead first.
I was just going to say, because I'm trying to figure it out like you guys are. I mean, maybe when you're a top team, this is uncharted waters for me. I mean, we haven't been here in a while. Maybe you just win when you don't. If you're good and you come to play and you have the work ethic, you win the games,
mm-hmm.
not always convincingly. You can't play 80 games of great hockey, but I feel, I've watched the game long enough that in the last 10 games or so, I felt like the Rangers have regressed to the team of last year, where it's, everything is a one goal. To get a goal is so monumental now. It shouldn't be a monumental task, and that's how I feel. I'm back to that, that gut-wrenching feeling, and then the nerves are all tight. I'm just on my – I'm waiting for something bad to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I was closing my eyes in that freaking game last night. I'm like, we're number one, but – we got the win. We got the 2 points. It's all that matters. I mean, maybe it's just I'm uncomfortable being in this position. I don't know. What do you think, Jim?
Let me throw a name out there. Guy that would probably be available for very little. He's fallen out of favor. What about Marek Zidlicky?
What's his contract status?
See, that I didn't look
at. To me, that's a big thing to me, only for the fact that you already have a glut of defensemen, and if it's just for this year, I'd rather have him than Steve Eminger. That's the only – that would be my only drawback would be Zidlicky's contract.
One more year at $4
million. Bobby!
What are his numbers for this season? Because I know a little bit about him, but
they haven't been playing him. He's been benched, and just curious. Wanted to take the
he was an original Ranger property, right? Wasn't he traded for Mike Dunham?
Yeah,
you mentioned earlier.
Funny. Bandar said Zidlicky equals Ozo, and that. But I like to take the temperature of this chat room. Get everybody, thoughts.
I mean, unless it's Bobby Ryan or one of those big guys, I really don't want to take on. I really don't want to take on salary for next year. I mean, even Brandon Morrow. People have thrown around Brandon Morrow's name. Brandon Morrow would be a great piece to add if you already had that other elite goal scorer.
He'd
be a nice player to add for a playoff push, but I don't know, bringing him in at $4 million at 35 years old, I don't know.
8K in the chat room, he'll tell you he's on that bandwagon.
Who's
tomorrow.
That?
For 8K in the chat room, he was talking about him earlier.
The Rangers have burnt themselves, and they're doing it again this year with Walski. I mean, every year we have this one frigging guy that is just eating away cap space, but the Rangers set themselves up this year, cap-wise, where they'll have a significant amount of cap space come the trading deadline. But every year it's the same crap. We're carrying a player with a bloated contract for half the season. He sits in the press box, and he just wastes away there and just eats away cap space. And they're doing it with Walski this year. I know Walski's been hurt, obviously, but, recently,
yeah.
it's it's just wasting cap space and just wasting.
I'm officially blowing him up. he's a bum.
You know
what it is? I tried to keep him in there. I tried to say, listen, he could score. He's not going to play on this team. He's not. He's had a chance to play, and you know, I know he hasn't been with the greatest lines, and he doesn't get it. But you got to do something out there. He just hasn't done anything. This is a guy that's obviously just not going to work here. And you're right. That's $3.5 million just being wasted.
Rubber dub dub. Can't get him out of the tub.
I think he's going to get traded at the deadline. I don't think they can get anything for him, but I think they're going to wind up having, you know, they're going to wind up moving up to somebody just to, I guess, to give him, someone else is going to give him a shot because he is 25, you know, 26 years old. So I think someone else is going to give him one more chance.
Well, you know, that's, it's what I, you know, I love reading what Ranger fans say on Twitter. So today it was, oh, well, Witkin Volsky are sent down to Connecticut. This is obviously a bigger move. They're obviously going to be part of a trade. For what? You put the two of them together, you're not getting half a hockey player back.
Oh.
What are you going to trade him for? I mean, come on. Jeffway Witka, nice spare part, but what are you getting for him? What are you getting for Jeff? What's Jeffway Witka bringing in a trade?
I'll tell you, if Santa could figure out how to trade Jeffway Witka, a waiver claim player, then you know what? Then he's more of a genius than he thinks. Because
and you know what? And Jim, you say who was going to take these guys? Listen, Glenn Sather, for all we make fun of him, he got rid of Scott Gomez.
Oh,
he
God.
Can trade anybody.
He
really can.
And he got rid of Aleš Kotelík. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's gotten rid of some bad contracts.
Yeah, but
I mean, he can move some. He can find a bidder.
Yeah,
he can find his way
out of his own messes when he has to. But he keeps getting. It's not like he doesn't make new messes.
Oh yeah. Oh, I agree.
He's constantly going on the paper.
Yeah. I mean, he certainly, you know. He gets it. He's horrible at, you know, what he does, and then getting out of it, though, he's brilliant, which is just weird.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all right, Rock. Listen,
all right,
phone lines are jammed. We're going to take some other calls.
Have a great night, guys. I'll talk to you next time. Later.
You too. Bye.
Take care.
Oh, yeah, we got Jeff Wojcik and Voltek Volsky doing a little down in Connecticut. Here they are working out with Ken Shenander. The live cooking. Well, Christensen's back. Is he? Did he bench press cars now? He's back with the team, right? Or they send him back down too?
I think if you're going to do something, do something big.
You're like a good.
You
want
to? I mean, if you're going to go with Marek Zidlicky, that's like a Brian McCabe kind of move.
Well,
that.
I agree, but you're also talking about a situation where, you know, nobody wants to trade anybody. You know, nobody wants to give up anybody. You know, oh, don't touch him. Don't touch him. Don't trade him away. You know, we can't trade anybody. This team, you know, there's 75 Canadians here, or the 77 Canadians, as Cutter would tell you. You know, we can't trade anybody. So, you know, look, I'm trying to work here for the Ranger fans and find guys that aren't going to cost you much. You know, this guy's fallen out of favor with his coach. He's got a bad contract, but, you know, sometimes you got to do that. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, it's a very similar situation to McCabe. But, you know, it's another. If you don't want to give up anything, then these are the type of guys you got to take back. The guys you throw up against the wall and hope they stick. A la the Met bullpen. You know, it's those type of guys. The R.A. Dickies of the world.
Yeah, I mean, we can't, you know, Ranger fans, which is funny, you know, we're highly critical, but we also get very attached to our players if they play any, you know, halfway decent and put an effort in. Like, you have people, well, Jeffway Wichter, come on, we can't trade him. He's been good when he's played. I'm like, give it a break. The Jeffway Witkins are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Stu Bickel, I mean, he's been solid, I guess.
Now, he doesn't plays like the first two periods in the third period. You never see him. I don't even think he's dressed in the third period. he's already in the showers. That's just Girardi and McDonough and Stoll and Delzato.
Yeah, Girardi playing 47 minutes a game.
He won't be burnt out.
No, he'll be just fine.
I don't know. I mean, they got such a surplus. I wish Sauer was healthy because I really think if Sauer was healthy, he could be traded. Because I feel like Sauer's very injury-prone throughout his career. And although I really like him, he's one of the few gritty defensemen they have. They probably has a little bit of value. Maybe a little. Because he has, had a whole year last year underneath his belt. And maybe... But who knows?
And trade him now, though. And they don't know when he's coming back. They just shut him down.
You never hear anything, either.
Well, they shut him down again a week ago, I guess. And they, there's no progress. So, all right, let's get back to the phones. We've got some calls that have been on hold for a while. 914-255, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Frankie C. from Fort Myers.
Frankie, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. I told you about Kurt Sauer, and that's R. Sauer's brother, and he's been out all year with a brain concussion too. And Bork, he's been out at Hartford all year with that additional concussions that he's had ever since junior hockey. That's why I didn't want the Rangers drafting those guys. But in any event, I've been following Hartford, and Hartford doesn't seem to have anybody that's going to be able to come up next year. None of them are playing really well. And, I've sent you things on Facebook and about this kid, Andrew Cogliano, and what he brings to the table. He was the fastest skater in the Rookies 2009 competition, and I thought he'd be a perfect match with Hagelin. And, I guess the only one that reads my posts are the people at Anaheim because they signed him. He just had a hat trick, I think, last night. Now he's got 11 goals.
Now, hold on there, Frankie, wait a minute. I read your posts.
Okay. Yeah, you sure.
I read everything you post on my Facebook wall, these three-page novels you write me. I read every word of it, Frankie.
And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury in March and a surgery. He's missed two games, in 4 years, this kid Cogliano. And, boy, I would love to see him, at center. I know he's not good at face-offs, but I would love to see somebody trying to catch him and Hagelin and, our other wingers out there like Stepan. And, he is really, really fast, and he never gets hurt. And I thought that Anaheim, boy, they stole him for a number two draft choice, and he's only, 23, 24 years old. And that's terrible. Maybe they can get rid of Dubinsky and bring this kid on board. Because Kreider's supposed to be pretty decent speed, and Miller's supposed to have pretty decent speed, and Thomas is supposed to have pretty decent speed. If we could put up two lines of speed demons out there, I don't think any NHL team they can match up with one fast line, but I don't know if they can match up with two fast lines. And that's basically it.
Now, well, let me ask you, who's on the team, on the roster right now, who are some of the guys that, in your mind, are maybe guys that you want to see traded or guys that are underperforming?
I don't want to see Dubinsky go because he's got a lot of heart, but he is not playing up to what his paycheck is. So if he has to go, and he's one of my favorite players, and despite what is said, his hits are up this year. He's doing a good job playing the body, but he's not putting up the points, possibly because the 8 goals that him and Boyle had last year on the power play, they don't have any goals on the power play this year because Brad Richards plays their time on the power play. But I don't have a problem with Dubinsky going if he's not, living up to his potential. And one other thing that you guys overlooked is that when we traded Roosevelt for Walski, Sather told us that the cap hit in this year for Walski was a lot less than Roosevelt. Does anybody remember that statement?
Yeah, I said that on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so I don't know why the big disappointment in Walski. I mean, you know, he's a soft player. He's a big, soft player. You know what? He's going to be gone. No big loss. It's just now with Fedotenko going next year, I don't see anybody coming up from Hartford to take his place. And I thought Cogliano for a number two draft choice was a steal. The guy never gets hurt. I mean, I think he did the skills competition in 14 seconds in 2009, and that's not much slower than Hagelin. And they both played for the Michigan Wolverines. They both played
right.
for the same team.
That's right.
You know, they I can't understand why Sather, you know, I send them these emails. I sent emails to Brooks on the New York Post, and I do Puck Daddy. And I'm not allowed on Lucia Banter anymore, but damn, Anaheim must read my posts because they go ahead and sign him. And now he's got 11 goals. He had 3 goal hat trick. He had a hat trick last night. I think it was the fastest hat trick in NHL history. Like in 10 seconds, he had 3 goals. But I guess the secret's out now.
So, well, all right. So, besides Walski and Dubinsky, who else are you looking for?
I don't know. Fedotenko is he and I think Brad Richards are our only minus players. Oh, that and Staal, I think, are our only minus players. They're not going to trade Staal. They're not going to trade Richards. I think Fedotenko has pretty much run his course. I don't know what he could do, bring back in a trade, but, I mean, he's not doing much on the ice. Avery, we're not going to get anything. Christensen, we're not going to get anything. I don't know what we have in Hartford. I think Sauer, if he ever gets healthy again, which I don't think is going to happen, we could probably do something with him. There's a number of teams, including Anaheim, that could use a defenseman. But, you know, he's got this mysterious concussion syndrome. You know, I'm 65 years old. How come I have a grade 4 concussion and I'm in a coma for a whole week in Lee Memorial Hospital, and I wake up and I start walking in a week, and with a grade 4 concussion and brain surgery where I had to have a craniotomy to relieve three hemorrhages in the brain, and I recovered in a month. And these guys, you know, they have a grade 1 concussion, and it's a year later. They're not normal. And now, like I said all along, you can't compare Crosby's concussion with everybody else's. Crosby had 2 concussions. Everybody forgets that. He had 2 concussions, and now he seems to have some kind of neck soft tissue injury as well. So they're comparing apples and oranges with Crosby.
Right. Well, you know, I understand what you're saying with the, with, you know, you've obviously you had your brain injuries there, Frankie. You've told us about them, but, you know, these guys are hockey players, constant contact. I doubt anybody's running around checking you into boards while you're walking
not
down the street there, right?
Not 65 anymore, anyway.
Right? Nobody's hitting you over the head with a, you know, with the fishing pole or whatever. Yeah, I know you're out there.
I know that. And I had a broken collarbone and fractured vertebrae. But you know, I'm very, very active. I hit the weight room all the time, and I'm always jogging and everything else. And I know it's not like hockey. But, you know, these guys, they just had what you call in Google, in Wikipedia, a ring my bell concussion where you don't lose consciousness. And it's only a grade 0 or grade 1 concussion. And after a week, they tell you you can go back to playing. Well, haven't a bunch of Giants this year had concussions and went back to play like in a week or two? You guys follow football too, right?
They sure do.
How many Giants this year had concussions? Like Snee and Bass and Manningham. They all had concussions, and like a week or two later, they were playing. And you can't tell me football is not as physical as hockey. Right?
You're absolutely right.
Yep.
I mean, you've got 300-pound guys punching you in the head. And they don't get minor penalties or double minors for doing that.
No, that's absolutely true.
All right.
Now, what about Frankie? What about Artie?
Artissimo? You know, I feel bad about him. He's been a center his whole life. He's an excellent defensive player. he's kind of awkward. He's like 6'3", 6'4", like 200 pounds. And I think you leave him alone. He's a good two-way player. But to accommodate Brad Richards, they put Anisimov out of position at left wing. They put Stepan out of position at right wing. I mean, and they wonder why those kids don't perform on the level that they expect them to when they're playing them out of position. And you saw what Sada did a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. He puts Delzato on right defense. You know, give me a break. And his plus-minus went down from like 25 to 20 in a week. What would happen, I'm just a guess, what would happen if we put Staal on right defense? I wonder what kind of brouhaha we would start with that.
No.
I don't know.
No, I don't want to do that. But we could switch around Anisimov, and we could switch around Stepan, and Delzato, who is a plus 25. We could move him from left defense to right defense. We can mess with those young kids who are very impressionable, you know. And, you know, and then what does Sagan also do? He takes Strowman off of Delzato's line, pairing, and he gives him to Staal. I mean, we went through this already where we took Girardi away from Delzato. Now we take Strowman away from Delzato. And you saw, and still Staal messed up, and I think he's like a minus 5 or a minus 4 or something this year. But anyway, things. I just think Stahl's going to be out of here probably next year. I don't want to trade him for Ryan because Ryan on Hockey's Futures, which is still showing the original posts on Ryan, if you go into a Google search, Hockey's Futures still says that Ryan has problems with a two-way game. He's not a good back checker, and he's not a really good skater. He has to learn how to keep his feet moving. And I really don't think Tortorella wants a guy that has problems back-checking because we already got Richards with a problem that he doesn't back-check that well and has been benched a couple of times by Tortorella. So Ryan is from New Jersey. You know, love to have him back. And he definitely could put points on the board. And he's a big, strong kid without being a tough guy. But I don't know, a $7 million hit we're going to get for him. Do we really want to spend that kind of money on him and, you know, and he doesn't back check? You know, I don't know.
Maybe there's some accommodations will be made for him. I mean, the guy is, what, 24 years old?
He's a young kid.
Guard, Frankie. I mean, don't you think the Rangers need some scoring here?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I remember we used to have a guy. Yep, do you go back as far as Cam Henry?
Yep, Camille Henry. Yes, Henry. Yep.
This was a guy that was like 5'6", like 150 pounds. He couldn't hit. He couldn't skate. All he would do was go in front of the net. The opposing defenseman would beat the crap out of him. The Rangers defensemen like Larry Howell and Jim Nielsen would shoot the puck, bounce it off his head, off his ankle, off his back, off his hip, and it would go in the net. I don't think he ever scored a goal for the Rangers off a stick. It was always ricocheting off of Henry. That's what we need. Somebody to go in front of the net and have the puck bounce off his shoulder. You know, like the pucks that bounce off of Lundqvist's face? We should have a couple of pucks bounce off of, like, Dubinsky or Boyle, assuming they get on the power play, and go in the net. We never see those kind of goals anymore, deflections, you know?
That's true. Rangers don't get... Yeah, well, I think that about covers it.
Yeah, they play too much on the periphery. That's a Brad Richards type thing. He's a guy on the power play that plays on the edge. You know, he don't play in front of the net.
Frankie, before we let you go, because we got to take some other calls, but I do appreciate you calling in. I just want to back up to something you said before. You emailed Glenn Sather?
Not email Glenn Sather. I sent a letter into MSG.
Ow!
I did send a number of emails to Larry Brooks.
Does Brooks ever get back to you?
Nope. And they have other people that write articles on hockey in the New York Post. And I also sent their emails as well. Their emails, because I also do the Knicks too. Well, it'll be like mark.berman.newyorkpost.com or larry.brooks. NewYorkPost.com. I'll send them all the time, you know, my suggestions. I never hear any feedback. You know,
sons of bitches.
I don't care. It's not a big deal. It's just letting off steam, that's all.
I hear you. Well, Frankie, listen, call us again next week, all right?
Fine. Thank you.
All right, you
gentlemen.
Take care. Good night,
thank
Frankie.
You.
Good night. I don't care.
Wikipedia.
What?
Wikipedia. When he said Wikipedia, that was it. That was the. I could not stop laughing. I was crying. Wikipedia.
I don't care what the audience thinks. I the laughter that man provides to me is just. It's just amazing. And I know you were crying.
Seriously, tears. Walski.
What are the
I emailed Glenn Sather and talk about Walski, and oh my God. But when he said, I looked it up on Wikipedia, all that shit was.
He is a terrific. I thought he was more lucid tonight than most. Usually.
Yeah,
more than usual.
Yeah, and it's late. He's in Florida. It's 9:15, but it sounded like he was.
Kim Henry. He must have known. Henry. But
he's Cam to those who knew him best.
Yes.
Oh my God!
Talk about the head injuries that crack me up too. I know it's sick, but sorry.
I had brain surgery, and oh my God,
a grade 4 concussion in my brain.
I had a brain concussion, as opposed to the toe kind.
Oh boy, we're bad. We're bad here.
I know you guys in the chat room were all like, anytime, anytime he calls in, he's getting right on and he can talk for as long as he wants. Anytime. I'm not going to stop him. Wikipedia. I can't wait till you pull that clip. I'm going to look him up on Wikipedia.
Artisimov.
Antsimov, Artisimov.
Anyway. All right, then we're going to get some more phone calls.
Dan the man, how are you, buddy?
Chewy, calm down, please.
Not easy. Love Frankie.
I was going to ask you, what Mel Brooks reject did you pick up? Oh, my God.
Oh, man. He's funny.
He's hilarious. He's absolutely great. Don't ever stop. But let me just go quickly with this whole Super Bowl coming up. You know, I'm old school, Jimmy. I mean, look, I'm a Jet fan, but I will never go against the Giants when you're going against any Boston or New England team. I don't care where they are. Screw them. I will never, ever root for a Boston team because I do not want to see them win anything.
Of course.
And I only get upset at the other Jet fans that apparently they like to wear the Patriot T-shirts because they don't want the Giants to win. I'm like, are you nuts?
Hmm.
Are you absolutely out of your mind? It's like, you know, those Bud Light commercials will take your man card away. We'll take your New York City resident card away. That's just stupid.
All right.
But anyway.
Give us your take on the Rangers. Our audience shuts
okay.
the show off.
Well, here's the thing. Here's my thing. I'm still upset about the loss to the Devils because, in my opinion, that's 2 points. They didn't deserve a single damn point in that game. And it's the truth. Because here's the thing. Because if Tortorella would have put Lundqvist against the Devils, the Rangers win that battle halfway. Because why? Because the Devils know they can't beat Lundqvist. You know how Torts, he said before the Flyer game that the Islander game was also important because it was a divisional rival. Well, he dropped his own ball. He should have put in Henrik in that game and then you put Baron against his former Buffalo Sabres teammates. Because that's how I felt. That was an important 2 points.
Yeah, and, you know, and this happens from time to time with Tortorella, that he gets into this a little bit of a hypocritical mode. You know, he says one thing and does one thing, and then when the same circumstance appears later on, he doesn't do it. I'm certainly with you on that. I think Punk should start the game.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm against Marty Baron or anything like that. I think Marty Baron has played a very good year so far with the Rangers, filling in for Henrik whenever he needs that mental break. I'm happy about Baron being on this team. But when you know his record against the Devils stinks to high heaven, why are you giving Henrik the extra day off? You can give him as many days off as you want. After the Devils game, you let Marty play the Sabres. Whatever happens, it happens. Apparently, Henrik had the game of his life, as always, anytime he's on the ice and net for the Rangers. But the point is simple. The Devils are scared of Henrik Lundqvist. They pray to God they score more than a goal against us when Henrik is in net. And when you saw Baron in net for the Rangers against the Devils, the second period goal, okay, fine. Okay, here's your goal. Now let's hopefully we can shut them out. You took a 2-1 lead, and then you tied it. They tied it at 2-2 on the power play. And then Delzato comes back to make it 3-2. I know, crazy bounce off the stanchions, and then Clarkson gets the goal, and they get 3-3. You go into overtime. But still, though, my point is this. Even if that did happen, Henrik Lundqvist's reaction time is 10 million times better than Marty Baron, and he would have stopped that.
Wow.
He would have stopped Clarkson.
Well, it certainly could have been that opportunity, I guess. I don't know. Something like that's so freaky and so quick. I don't know. But I know what you're saying, though. You're kind of like me where I am. I mean, with Baron, I think Jim said it earlier. It's just like nobody is going to be Henrik Lundqvist, and you just can't play like it. I mean, you just it's going to be a downgrade no matter who you put in there.
Let me just say this here, Eddie. How many times in the last several years since Lundqvist has been in net and you saw how many opportunities for the opposition to bury one? I mean, let's go back to last year when the Senators were in the MSG, and Kovalev basically had a free shot at scoring that goal when the puck bounced up in the air. Henrik didn't know where it was, and as soon as the puck landed right on the stick of Kovalev, what does Henrik do? Bang, pad to the near post, and Kovalev got stuffed.
Yeah. Well, Jim, what do you think? You're staying out of this. Do you think Baron could have had that?
Yeah, well, I said at the top of the show.
Oh, you think Lundqvist would have had it well?
Yeah, I mean, what difference does it make
point? The difference is that the Devils would have had none and the Rangers would have two.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter anymore.
I know, but you know, I'm still peeved about it. But other than that, great game in Buffalo. I know the power play; it's the biggest problem. I'm trying not to feed the trade dragons or the trade mess or anything like that. But I kind of started to get thinking a little bit. And if you want to throw, if you want to hit the explosion button on me, I can understand. I say Artem and Anisimov, maybe a draft pick here or there, maybe someone in Hartford, Connecticut Whale, whatever, to the Chicago Blackhawks for Marian Hossa.
I've seen a lot of Ranger fans going wanting Hossa.
Look, how do you think Solani went to Anaheim when him and Correa were on the same line for the All-Star game?
Who did you have going for that trade?
I said Anisimov, two draft picks, and someone currently down in the AHL.
You're not going to
I know they're not going to do it, but I just thought I'd throw it out
there.
Nobody
would do that.
Yeah,
Marian Hossa is a world class player.
I know.
New York. I know. You know what it is?
It's all about the power play, boys.
And I think a lot of people saw Hossa and Gabrick together, and the chemistry they had at the All Star game. That's never going to happen. Chicago is not going to give. First of all, his contract is absurd, and I think Chicago.
I know.
You know, they're doing well. They don't need to make a trade like that. Yeah. They don't want draft picks on the Rangers.
Like I said, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just seeing if you think guys think it's a good idea. Right now, I'm happy with where they are. It's a hardworking team. They did a great job. Sick save by Lundqvist on Brad Boys in the shootout. That was just unbelievable. We have the greatest goalie in the world, and this guy should be winning a Vezina every single year.
Well, that certainly is true. Another shutout last night, and he's got a good chance of getting it this year, and hopefully he'll get it. The guy's been I've seen a lot of love for Tim Erickson in this room. People love
untouchable. That's what they're saying.
I don't know what Tim Erickson did, why he was up, but apparently he's untouchable.
He's played
I'd
60 NHL
should...
games.
The only thing I'm saying is if they recall him, they should just give him his dad's number. Just give him number 20 right off the bat. Don't give him 53.
Yeah.
Give him number 20.
I like that. That's a good idea.
Give him his dad's number. I mean, after all, it's only the right thing to do.
Maybe he doesn't want to wear his dad's number.
Well. His loss now.
All right, Dan. We'll talk to you next time, buddy.
Talk to you next time.
Let's go kick
the Flyers' ass again on Sunday afternoon. And, Jimmy, I'm rooting for the Giants.
Good to know. Thanks, Dan.
All right.
Bye.
Take it easy.
See ya.
Take care.
See ya. Later, Eddie.
Bye-bye.
All right. Keep the phones rolling here. 631-678. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, it's Margaret.
Hello, Margaret.
Oh, you're in trouble
now. I'm
going to
get on your case.
How am I
in trouble? Shut up, Eddie. Shut up. Eddie, shush. I'm not going to get on your case. Just going to say one thing. Let's move on from New Jersey. We've got the rest of the season to go. Whether you like Anisimov, you don't like Dubinsky, I don't give a crap. You got to fix what's wrong. What's wrong is the power play, okay? Here's a way to fix it. You take somebody that you want to jettison, and don't make it Dubinsky because at least the guy hits, at least the guy moves, at least the guy checks. You take Anisimov because he's soft and he's got his head up his ass, and we don't know when he's going to get his head out of his ass. So you take him, you take a pick, you take somebody else you want to get rid of, and you go to Dallas and you knock on the door and you say, we'll give you these guys for Brendan Morrison and here's the kicker, Sheldon Soure, somebody who's got a howitzer from the point who can shoot on the power play. Okay, go back the other night, 4-on-3. Why couldn't the Rangers score 4-on-3? Because they let Buffalo fall back into a V formation and they could not get the puck past them. They got to come back out. The Rangers have to come back out at the top of the circles and pull those guys out of that V and start shooting the puck towards the net, okay? Who's going to do that for them? Sheldon Soure is going to do it, and they're a rental. They're unrestricted free agents at the end of the season. It's not going to cost anything but one decent player to Dallas, and Dallas is going to try to make the move, and they need somebody who has somewhat of a scoring touch, who Sneely and Artem Anisimov is, and you give them a pick, or you give them somebody else, and you get two guys in who have both, well, not both. Morrow's played with Richards, and maybe he can light a fire under Richards' ass. And let's move forward here, and let's get this thing going. Are you with me?
I'm writing it all down.
Good. And that guy Frankie that was on, he may be the king of malaprops. He's the next Norm Crosby. But the guy makes a lot of sense, too. He has a lot of really intelligent things to say about what should happen. The only problem is he's probably sending goddamn emails to Larry Brooks, and Larry Brooks is stealing his ideas and using them to write friggin' columns.
We love Frankie.
I like him. I was listening to what he was saying. He makes a lot of sense, especially what he was saying about Bobby Ryan. I'm going to relook Bobby Ryan because I was, like, really intent upon getting Bobby Ryan, and now he's telling me that the kid doesn't backcheck. I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many Anaheim games. You know, Frankie's not a professional scout. I mean, he's also had a couple of head injuries, so I wouldn't be, like, taking his word for it. Certainly, if a guy could produce offensively, the Rangers can deal with that. The problem is the Rangers can't get anybody who's an offensive chip in offensively who, you know, the on a consistent basis, they can sacrifice a guy. If Wojtek Wolski was a 30-goal scorer, they could certainly handle that. But he's not. So, you know, well, Bobby Ryan, who could produce in theory and young, and I still think that's the guy to go to if it's doable. If it's doable.
But as I said, the biggest thing is the power play, and you don't want to beat a dead horse, but for Christ's sake, it's been – since 1994, since the Rangers had a decent power play. And the common denominator always comes down to what's going on. Rennie and his guys got dumped because of the power play. I don't think Tortorella's going to get dumped, but he's got to do something to find it because he's up against that, and he's up against attrition because he's got a couple young kids there that he's riding very hard who have never played an 82-game schedule before. And they are going to run out of gas. If they make it to the end of the season, fine, but what are they going to have left in the tank for the playoffs? And also be mindful of the fact that the Rangers won the President's Trophy in 91-92, and they didn't get to the end. They got pretty far, but they didn't get to the end. And in 92-93, they didn't even make the playoffs. So what I was saying about them not being in a position just yet, that there are a couple of key pieces missing, and in 92-93, they went out and they got the people that they needed to make 93-94 happen, and I think that that's what still has to happen right now. And if people get upset about it and they want everything right now, too bad they're not getting it right now. It's not going to happen this year. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup this year. I would say they have a better shot if they can move people around, get new people in, like the younger kids that are coming in, like Kreider. They get them in, they put them in the mix, then maybe, okay, if they go to the second round of the playoffs this year, that'll be acceptable. It's one round further than they've gotten under Tortorella, all right? And then sit tight, let's wait it out, another year. We don't know what's going to happen with the CBA and everything. That could put a real monkey wrench into everything. You just got to have some more patience. We're still rebuilding, guys. We are still rebuilding.
We may be rebuilding, but we're in a position. Again, the expectations, Margaret, have risen. So we must rise to the challenge. We can't sit back and wait. I'm not saying trade Kreider. I'm not saying trade all our prospects. I'm not saying that. There's certainly some extra players on this team that can be moved. I disagree with you with Dubinsky. I don't care if Dubinsky leads the league in hits. He's overpaid. He's not a good playmaker. He's invisible on most nights. He's not a good hockey player. He just hasn't been good, all year. I mean, what's he got, 5 goals? I mean, it's unacceptable.
What is his nickname, basically, when he was playing well, when he was putting pucks in the net? He was called the garbage man. Why? Because he was creating havoc in front of the opposing goaltender.
Now he's just garbage.
No. Who's shooting at the net, Eddie? Who's shooting at the net for him to put the garbage in?
He's
nobody.
Terrible.
Nobody.
No.
I disagree with you completely. The kid is good on penalty kill. He's good on he's a good checker, forechecking and backchecking. And let me tell you something else. If you dump him, he will come back to bite you in the ass more than anybody else.
You have that same opinion of Avery,
and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the old cigar chomper doesn't have another move up his sleeve to have the Avery effect redux. Especially if he starts to see things going south in March and he wants to pander to the crazy element that puts signs on opening night, we want Avery. Don't be surprised if you see that, because Sather will do anything to get a spark. And right now the Rangers are at the top of the league and they're sexy, and you know, but like the first caller that called in, I don't know how the hell they're doing it because it's smoke and mirrors to me. I don't know how they're getting it done. I really don't. And, you know, blocking shots, yeah. How many shots can you block before you're the walking wounded? And attrition. If they can keep their guys healthy, if they can make it into March, the schedule, again, your first call is the schedule is a bitch. Back-to-back games. I think they play 33 games in 66 days. Does that sound right? That's a hell of a lot of games.
Well, I think that is a concern. I mean, there's certainly the fragility of the Rangers is going to be because they block so many shots. We saw it last year with a lot of injuries towards the second half with Callahan and with both the times with the hand and all that stuff. That's going to be an important thing. And, you know, it really is going to be an important thing. But I'm just, you know, me and you are different ends of the spectrum with Brandon Dubinsky. I think this – he has become more – I really believe this. As he's gone down in the ranks as far as in the locker room as being the more important guy, he's lost his game more and more. He's just – I don't notice the guy out there. I really don't. I mean, that's just my
opinion.
Wait a second.
Let me ask you another question. You don't notice the guy, but have you seen him make any flagrant errors? Has he coughed up the puck? Is he responsible for turnovers where goals are being scored? Not so much.
No, I would. He's not detrimental to the team in any way. But if I don't want a guy who's, you know, I'm just, you know, that's not detrimental, who's getting paid $4.2 million out there. I want a guy that's going to be proactive, progressive. I want goals. This team, he's got to get to 20, 25 goals for that contract, and he's not going to get there.
He's one person on the team where other people are not living up to their expectations, too.
I agree. Artemon Isimov, bye-bye. I've had enough with Artie. He's got a mental problem. I don't know. I don't want to sit around and solve it anymore for 18, 20 games. I can't have it.
He doesn't check, doesn't hit. There's a big difference between he and Dubinsky are on opposite ends of the spectrum. And come next year, you're going to have free agents that are walking out of there. Fedotenko is gone. Fedotenko for a while was good. He was solid. I don't see him being solid that much anymore. I like strong.
Well, I'd say about Artie, he's defensively responsible. That's what he brings to the table. But he needs to chip in. These other guys need to chip in. If they're not chipping in, there's no reason. These checkers, we have a whole team full of checkers. So don't tell me, I can't fall in love with a $4 million checker. That's it. I already got Brandon Prust. I already got Brian Boyle. I already got Rupp. I already got Mitchell. I already got Hagelin. Although Hagelin's got some offensive upside for sure. But
Hagelin.
I mean, you know.
Hagelin.
Patience. We're at top of the NHL, and I've lost my patience with this team.
Eddie, take up knitting like Sean Avery. Don't lose your patience because this, let me tell you, this is not the year. If it is, then I'm wrong. Call me a liar. But what I'm saying to you is come the next unrestricted free agency period, you're going to see a lot of the guys that are on their walk. We got to get rid of Wolski. Now you're talking about wasted money. That's wasted money. Dubinsky's not wasted money. He's having a slump. I'm willing to cut him a little more slack than you are. And Isimov, I agree. I don't see him because of his metal, meaning his spine or whatever. I don't see him changing. But Dubinsky has proved to be a very gritty player, and I would give him the benefit of the doubt way, way over a Christensen or Wolski or anybody else of the bottom ranks on the team. And whether or not he's making his money, let think of it this way. Look at how much money they pissed away on Gomez. It's nothing compared to, you know, that. What Dubinsky is getting is nothing compared to what Sather did with Drury and Gomez. And let me tell you, Dubinsky has a lot more balls and a lot more heart than either of those two guys did.
All right. Maybe the last one. Yeah, okay. You're going to be the last one to staying aboard the SS Dubinsky.
Dubinsky!
You're like an Italian captain. You're staying on top. You know, me, I'm out of here. I've had enough. I'm enough of his stupid face. I've had enough of his speed mark.
I love you guys. Listen, take it easy.
All right, Margaret, thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm sorry if I was forceful and upset, but
no,
I was.
Don't worry about that. That's what this show is for.
All right, you guys, listen, I think Boston lost tonight, Philadelphia won.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Sounds good.
Take it easy, guys.
Bye, Margaret.
Take care.
Good night.
Costa, what's going on?
Was that Dubinsky's mom on the phone or something? May I be frank? May I be frank with you people?
All right. You just look. All right. Costa, I mean, has Dubinsky been in a 49-game slump, as Amanda put it? I mean, listen, you get the pay.
Is he tradable?
Dubinsky?
Yeah.
Yes, he's tradable.
For what?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what the market is for him. I mean, look, the guy has produced, so.
He just got
If you want to move him, you think you got to do it. You got to figure out is you move him maybe a little early, or you wait, or you move him when it's too late.
Yeah, he's not worth anything.
I'll ask you guys this: do you think the four million would be a deterrent for the team to take him? I think that's an outrageous. Four years on his contract.
No.
I don't know.
The Savior's gonna work his magic. Okay. How old is he? 25. Coming up on 26. Twenty-six year old. Now there'll be a market for him, sure.
Yeah.
I don't think the money cares, anybody.
I think teams will look at him and say, listen, the guy gets 20 goals a year. He's 20 to 25 guy. He's a hard-nosed player. He plays for the Rangers. He's a big work ethic guy. This will be his, you know, this is what the scouts will say. And they'll say, well, you know. And
I think he's doing everything good except score.
He's doing everything good but score.
Yeah, that's the problem. He's not scoring. Everything else.
Goodbye. Get out of here, you bum.
Yeah.
All right. Artem's just tried my patience. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with the head cases anymore.
And what's his contract?
It's not that much, Artem. It's like $2 million. It's nothing big. He's very cheap, Artem. That's one of the good things about him. But I think teams would take him because he every year he's improved. This year he's not going to be improving. His numbers have improved. So I think a lot of teams would take him.
Did he get his
chin
this year, too?
Question from the chat room. Dubinsky's doing everything good but score. But isn't that what he gets paid for?
Yeah. And you know what? Somebody said earlier in the chat room, the garbage man is now taking him out. He's garbage. Who said that? That was great. That was the best shot of the night. I don't know. I don't know why I'm so negative. Why am I so negative today, boys? I mean, really.
Makes for better radio.
They're winning games. They got more W's than L's. Obviously, they're doing something right.
But I'm worried, though, Costa. I'm worried.
I understand that. I understand.
I think they're a paper tiger right now. I don't see the juice. I don't see the jam. I don't see it. I don't see them attacking enough.
Would you be happy if they won all the rest of their games 1-0?
No.
Really?
I want to see win 4-1. Give these goalies a break. Give us a break.
They gotta make the other team pay the price when they block shots.
I know, but you know, it's gonna spending all that time in your own zone. It leads to injuries. It leads to they don't get enough power plays as it is. I mean, you gotta wait for Aaron Tice to get a penalty.
You're gonna block the shots. Go for the ankles, man. Go for the wrist. We'll break a wrist or break an ankle with a shot.
Well, that's another thing. But the Rangers are unable to draw power plays. That's the new thing. Unless some high stick.
I have the solution for the power play. I have the solution.
You do?
Here we go.
Yes. Play 4-on-4 and have one player hang back.
What do you mean?
We have a 5-on-4 power play. Play 4-on-4 and have one guy hanging back.
Hanging back? Where?
So you're saying just play even strength in the offensive zone?
Yes.
Oh, there's some coaching. Give him the Jack Adams Award right now.
That's your strategy? That's your strategy? Just to give up one player? Just to sacrifice him? Just have him go stand by the net.
I think I've ever
seen this show. You got to do something.
You're going to get the Gomez Adams Award, the Jack Adams Award. Not the Patch Adams.
And a pass on the side. Okay.
That sounds like something Newman would come up with.
Yeah, really. Dude, you gotta come up better than that.
Turn that all the way up. My goodness. Sorry about that.
Oh, loud.
Yeah, it was. Somebody. It's almost like somebody came in here and played with our files or something, because a lot of them were maxed out.
Not me, my.
No, I know it wasn't you. I know you wouldn't do that. But it's almost like they got reset or something.
Scoring off the power play. I'm just talking about getting a power play. It seems like we go periods without getting power plays. And not that I want to see them, but maybe if they had more practice, they'd be good.
Now, I just thought of something. What if 4-on-4 with one guy back doesn't work? Then we're going to play 3-on-4 with two guys back?
No, we're going to go. If it doesn't work, we just go back to 5-on-4.
Oh, okay.
Got it all figured out, Jim.
he thought this through.
We did.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying
to think, but nothing happens.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I've got to wait for a high stick to go to a Ranger's face in order to get a power play. And half the time, they don't call it. The Buffalo game, like six guys got high stick. Callahan's got blood all over his eye. No penalty.
For business, my friend. It's good for business. You understand? It's good for business.
What, for Buffalo? You know, Bettman wanted Buffalo to win?
Yes. Good for business.
Good for business to have a winner in New York. That's what's good for business.
Well, apparently Bettman doesn't think so. Apparently.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Let me tell you something. Coming out of that Stanley Cup, the NHL was as hot as a firecracker after the Rangers won. And then what happened after that? The lockout.
Exactly. Because the guy's a fucking idiot. He's something I can't say on the air. Put it that way.
All right. Stop yourself. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Oh, he's a wackadoo in the first degree, and we love him.
That may be the worst.
It's a play 4-on-4. Why not pull the goalie and go 6-on-4? Why don't we try that? Hey, Mandar.
I'll tell you, there's never a dull moment, except when we're getting Costa to describe the power play.
This is one of our best shows ever.
I'll tell you what, though.
We've had a little bit of everything.
I know, seriously. You listen to this show, you would think that, you know, the game against Philly is so important on Sunday, so we can try to, you know, catch that 8 spot. All right, take a deep breath. They're in first place. Boston lost again.
Stop.
Don't give me stop. Don't give me stop.
You're going to get this calm down. Everybody's panicking. we hear this every other month.
They're not winning by enough. Want the 4-1 win. I don't want
that. Here we go. He does the crying voice and the whole thing.
Seriously, give me a freaking break.
Now, so you've been impressed by the Rangers lately, huh?
I mean, I'll tell you what. Do you want to be impressed in 500 or not impressed in 20 games over 500?
I want to be impressed.
They do. I mean, this is the reality of this team. And we haven't, you know what, we haven't had a fun Ranger team since before the lockout. Because, believe me, the Tom Rennie years weren't exactly a whole ball of fire either. So, give me this expectation that everybody thought that we were going to run roughshod over everybody. We were going to play 4-1 games. That's the expectation? No. Everybody here expected the Rangers to play tight games all the time. Where is this fallacy that we got to win games 4-1? Where did that come from all of a sudden? Where did we become... Where did we become so jaded that a 1-0 victory isn't good enough because we didn't look good enough?
Well, it doesn't look good enough when you have to have a goaltender who has to stand on his head to rob the game from the opponent every night for a week on end. It's supposed to be the first – let me speak now. It's supposed to be a race to 3 goals, not a race to get to the shootout. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's your reality, is to get 3 goals. Every coach is – mantra is that. Get 3 goals. We can't even get 1 lately. So I have things to gripe about. I want to see more goals. We got Brad Richards in the offseason for a reason. To get more goals and put more pucks in the net.
Mm-hmm.
Set up people. And it's not happening. So I'm aggravated. What can I tell you?
I
can't change.
If you put number 71 from the Penguins on the Rangers, does he still become the 60-70-point scorer at this time of the season, or is he a 40-point scorer? And I'm not saying it's because of any kind of Ranger curse. What I'm saying is it's a style of play. If you're expecting Brad Richards to come in here and still be an 80-point scorer like he was in the Western Conference for Dallas, then you were disappointed. If you came in here expecting him to play and adhere to the Rangers system, I would like to see him have more of an offensive presence. But there is not one player in the NHL that would thrive in this system that the Rangers play. It's successful, which is why I'm saying it doesn't matter. I'd love to get a Bobby Ryan. I would love to get Getzlaf or Perry or any of the other forwards that anybody wants to mention.
So,
but you're not.
What you're telling me
is that
Harry Gaborik is he's the most special player in the NHL because he's able to get 40 goals in this system. That no other player can score and play in a John Tortorella system.
It's obvious that the system doesn't support that.
Okay. So, I just want to make that clear.
Let me go through peaks. Hey, look, I have no problems with Brad Richards as far as what he's done, his cumulative effort on the year so far. The guy has been clutch. The guy, other than recently, has been a face-off dynamo. The guy back checks. Every time he's on the ice, let me ask you a question. Every time he's on the ice,
Don't you think the Rangers have a chance for some sort of offense, even if he hasn't been playing well lately? Every time he's on the ice, you have a belief that there could be something good offensively happening. Every time.
And again, I would say so still. It hasn't waned yet.
He's not playing with Louis Erickson on this team. He doesn't have a winger like that on his line.
Yeah,
he's got Callahan on his line, which has been fine. But, it's all a matter of fit, and everybody thought, and myself included, I thought that he'd be a natural with Gabbert. Didn't work out. But he's fit into the mold on this team. He has been a major contributor to the reason why their record is what it is. Your record is, didn't Parcells say that? Your record is what you're what it says on the back of your card. You
what
are
does
what
he know?
You are what your record says you are.
Exactly. That's what they are. Now, am I confident that this is the team that can go far in the playoffs? I'm not ready to say that yet because you know my feelings about getting a Shea Weber type when they're available, because I think that's the key. You need a leader from the back line. If you had a Shea Weber on that power play in overtime last night, you would not have seen what you saw there last night. And I am 100% convinced if Shea Weber was on the Ranger point last night, 4-on-3 in overtime, that wouldn't happen. There's no.
Now, Mandar, did you see what I saw on that 4-on-3?
What,
two
no
guys,
movement? The Statue of Liberty power play that they don't move?
Well,
yeah.
Two guys out at the point, and then a guy on each side of the net where you have no chance of scoring from.
It's the same thing. You know what? You got to try to force the issue. You got to make the defenders move around a little bit. Believe me, it looked like the Buffalo penalty killers were out there the entire time, and it wasn't because they weren't able to change it. It's because they didn't get tired. They were stationary. Again, this team has no clue how to set up a power play because that's not their offensive system. They're not creative offensively. They're grinding in the corners. Create your offense from the forecheck, from the cycling in front, with the occasional snipe every now and then. That's how the Rangers' offense is run. Now, if you are consistent with that and you're teaching that on your power play, how many times do you see cycling on a power play? How many times do you see board work on the power play leading to some sort of grinding scoring chance? Not very often, and that's why the power play is unsuccessful. But, and I've said it, and you guys have heard me say it this entire year, my biggest concern is what the power play is going to be, because in the playoffs it's that much more magnified. But that's
right.
What it is.
I think they need an injection of some new blood, just to wake them up a little bit. I don't know if it's going to be a minor deal or a major deal, but I think there needs to be something.
There has to be a major
something
deal.
Missing.
I believe a major deal has to be made because, you know, I've heard some people on some boards that are worried about chemistry. Chemistry is good as your next win. You win your next game, you got good chemistry. You don't win your next game, then people question the chemistry. I don't have any problem with
that. I agree with that. I certainly agree with that.
Anybody who can't see that Brandon Dubinsky isn't doing what he is supposed to do, whoever wrote that in the room was couldn't be more correct. You didn't pay him $4 million, so he'd be okay as a penalty kill. You basically, what you've done is that you've paid $4 million for Blair Betts. Right?
Right.
Now watch him. Watch him in the offensive. He had a stretch of 8 games where he went 4 goals, 4 assists. You take away that stretch of 8 games, that's 1 goal in 41 games. And he's not the player that we always knew he was inconsistent. He's on his game when he's a bulldog with the puck and he's taking it to the net. I mean, how many times have you seen him come up the boards and you're saying, come on, all right, now get that rush, blow by the defenseman, cut to the net, bring the guys there with you. Or when there's somebody else on his line, do you ever see him in front of the net near the crease? Eddie, you hit it perfectly. He's invisible. That's not a forward you need. Again, that's Blair Betts. I don't need Blair Dubinsky.
Well, I mean, there's certainly time for him to atone offensively in it. But the thing is that with him, we're not just paying for what he did in the past. You're doing for him. You were paying for what he's going to be in a way, you know? I mean, he's, as he progresses, to me, he's just diminished. He's diminished.
He's kind of wilted like a flower.
Absolutely.
With the addition of these newer guys, the younger, newer guys. He's not the young guy anymore. You know, he's not the hustling winger. Oh, he's so exuberant, this and that. You know, he's not that guy anymore. And that may be affecting him.
He may be affected, but look, you know, a slump is one thing. I mean, but you know how you always can tell, like, in baseball, if a hitter's in a slump and he's still hitting rockets, they're just going right at the fielders, you feel okay about it because you figure that's not going to happen every time. You're still hitting the ball well, it's going to drop in somewhere. In hockey, you're getting chances, goalies are just stoning you. So you know that it's okay because they're not always going to stone you. But with Dubinsky, he's not creating anything. He's not even getting the opportunities. And when you're not creating or getting opportunities, there's no coming out of a slump when none of that's happening. You're not playing yourself out of the slump by regressing. And that's what he's doing. And he's had more than ample opportunity. I mean, Torts has played him hard. Torts has put him up on the second line. He's partnered him with Callahan and Richards. You know, he's gotten time on the big unit. He's gotten his power play time, and he's been ineffective. Now, what needs to be done is you coach him up or you coach him out.
Yeah, I feel he's gotten a lot more opportunity to break out than, like, say, Anisimov, although, you know, I'm totally off Artie right now, but... You know, who goes from the first to fourth line? Dubinsky gets his chances for redemption and just doesn't take advantage of it. So
it's a shame because you want to think that he's a better player than that. And that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest disappointment for Ranger fans. They want to think he's better than this. Is he?
I don't know.
that's the frustrating thing.
All right, my friend, we've got to end this. We've got to come to the conclusion. I'd like to thank Wikipedia. I'd like to thank Artisimov. I'd like to thank Frankie. I'd like to thank Mandar. I'd like to thank the Lord up above for giving us this great show to do every week.
It's been a pleasure, gentlemen. This is definitely...
Yes.
One of our more memorable shows, there's no doubt about it.
Okay. Take care, guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday.